Yeah, so as I mentioned last week, we're going to be doing Operation Christmas Child again for this year. So we're going to be doing it on November 11th. So that's during our Friday Fellowship. So our goal, we're going to try to pack 100 shoe boxes. Last year, as a whole church, we did 60, I think. So I think we can be able to make it to 100. So like I said, before that day, it'll be great if you guys can help buy a lot of supplies. So a lot of toys, a lot of art supplies, pens, pencils, whatever you can think of that would be good gifts for these children. And we're going to try to pack boxes with them. So we were going to try to pack 100 shoe boxes, and this is actually making an impact. So as we see in the video, you know, the children who receive this shoe box, they will also get to hear about the good news of Jesus and have a chance to be able to accept Christ as their Savior. So they will also go through a discipleship program. So there is meaning, there's intention behind what we are doing. So have you guys ever thought, like, a lot of times, like, when we are in church, sometimes, like, the things that we do can end up being meaningless or just pointless if we don't really know, what is the meaning behind what we are doing. Same thing with worship. Now, do you know that God desires for all of us to worship Him, but He doesn't just care that we worship Him, like, just as an external action, but He actually cares about how we worship Him. So God cares about how we worship. See, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, or 10:31 says, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So this means that every single thing that we do in this life, every single action, everything that we say, whether we eat or whether we drink, should be seen as an act of worship, including this activity that we're going to be doing. So this ministry of packing the shoeboxes, do we see that as an act of worship? So worship isn't just when we're singing songs here in church. Worship is any ministry that we do. Worship is anything that we say, think, and do, even in every single aspect of our life. So how should we worship then? So we're going to be seeing that as we look into our passage. So today we're going to be looking at two passages. First one we're going to look at is John chapter 4, verses 19 to 26. So you have your Bibles, you can turn to that one. And then, I don't know, maybe it's a safe time. If you have another Bible, like maybe your neighbor can go to Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. So we're going to be looking at those two verses for today. John chapter 4, 19 to 26, and then Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. But let's start with John chapter 4. So in this passage, we see Jesus talking to a woman who's a Samaritan, and he was meeting her at the well. And in their discussion, somehow, like, the topic of worship comes up. So this is part of the conversation that we're going to focus on. Okay, John chapter 4. Starting from verse 19, please follow along as I read. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews." Verse 23. "But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is speaking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, He who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for bringing us here to this fellowship again, another chance to be as a fellowship of one another, and also to worship you and to hear from your word. We pray that you would teach us concerning how we should worship you. If everything that we're doing in this life is worship, help us to know what is the best way for us to do it. Help us to have the right heart in doing it, because you desire for us to worship you. We pray that you teach us, Lord. We lift up these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. All right, so from the handouts, you guys can fill in the blanks. The main question we're going to be answering today is this: how should we worship with a true heart? How should we worship with a true heart? And we'll see that there are two ways. So there's just 2 points for this sermon. So the first way is this. Number one, we can worship God in a way that is a truthful interaction between our spirit and God. Okay, so number one for how we should worship with a true heart, worship in a way that is a truthful interaction between our spirit and God. So from what we just read, Jesus, again, he's having this conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well, and the topic of worship comes up. You know, she was saying, oh, our people, they worship on the mountains, but then you do say that you worship God at the temple or in Jerusalem. But Jesus then says, oh, the time has now come. So basically he's saying the Messiah is come, where it doesn't matter where we are worshiping, but what matters is on our hearts, how we worship him. So if you jump to verse 23, again, this is the main part that we're focused on. He says this, but the hour is coming and it's now here when true worshipers will worship the Father, how? In spirit and in truth, for the Father seeking for such people to worship him. In spirit and in truth. What does that mean? Actually, in the Greek, it can really be translated as a truly spiritual worship. Truly spiritual worship. Basically, God is a spirit. God doesn't have a physical body. But when we worship God, it is an interaction between us and God himself. Okay? So when we're worshiping, we're not focusing on any other things. We're not focusing on our problems. We're not focusing on ourselves and what we're doing. We're not focusing on our other idols or other things that may distract us. We are focusing on praising and worshiping God. So whatever action that we are doing that is considered as worship, we have to keep in mind that it starts in our hearts. It is an interaction between our spirit and God's spirit. This is what it means to worship in spirit, but then there's also the second part, and in truth. So what does it mean for that truth part? This means that as we worship, in what we are doing, we are saying that what I am saying, what I am thinking, whatever I'm doing, may that be true in my heart. I'm not being a hypocrite. I'm not lying at all. So we need to have that both parts. Spirit, meaning that we are worshiping God in our hearts, but then whatever we're doing in our worship, it has to be true. So this brings us to our second point here. Okay? Let us read Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. So hopefully like you have someone else who had turned to that passage. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13 says, and the Lord says, because this people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me. So here's the second way. Here's the second point that how we can be able to worship with a true heart. Number two, our internal worship within our hearts should be reflected by our external worship in our actions. Our internal worship within our hearts should be reflected by our external worship in our actions. So from this passage that I read in Isaiah, basically it's talking about how God's people, the Israelites, they have come to a time where, oh, they're worshiping God with their mouths and with their hearts, but then with their lips, but then it says that their hearts are far away from him. What does that mean? It means that they are saying one thing with their lips, they're praising God, saying, oh, God, I love you, God, I worship you, but God knows in their hearts that their hearts are far away from him. So there's an inconsistency between what is externally done in their outward worship and what is actually inside their hearts. So the Israelites, they honor God with their lips, with their mouths, but then their hearts are far away from him. So this is why I say we need to differentiate. Like, again, we see that worship is worshiping God in spirit and in truth. So that's truth part is that our internal worship, as we interact with God in spirit, it is true and it should be reflected with our external worship. So I know it seems a little bit abstract, seems a little bit confusing right now, but let me give you a few examples. What were we just doing earlier before we watched the video? We were worshiping God. We were singing. So this is our external act of worship. We are singing with our voices, with our mouths, that we are worshiping God. But as we are reading those words and as we're singing those words that are on the screen, is what is on the screen actually true in our hearts? Do we actually believe what we are singing about and saying to God? Say, for example, one of our favorite worship songs, Lay Me Down. Okay, well, how does that chorus go? It says, I lay me down, I'm not my own. I belong to you alone, lay me down, lay me down. So basically, it's an act of surrender to God. So when we are singing that song, and when you're saying those words, do you actually believe that in your heart? Yes, we are honoring God with our mouths, with our lips. We're saying that we will surrender to God and we'll lay our lives before Him. But in your hearts, as you sing and say that, do you actually believe that? In your hearts, are you actually worshiping God and really saying that, God, I truly want to surrender and lay myself down before you? Look at the verse 2 of Lay Me Down. It says, letting go of my pride, giving up all my rights, take this life and let it shine. No, these are very serious words. Can we say these words and let it actually be true in our hearts? If that's the case, then our external act of worship, in terms of singing these words, will become consistent and reflect what is internally inside of our hearts. What about for the chorus of King of Kings? Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. When we sing these words, do we actually believe in our hearts that Jesus is the King of Kings? Are we saying that we are actually praising and worshiping Him? Or are they just empty words? Because you know what this would be like? It's like if I tell my wife, I love you, but then I actually don't really mean it in my heart. Or like everything else that I do doesn't seem to match up with that. No, I just know how to say the right things. Oh, actually, at times I struggle with even knowing how to say the right things. But no, that would be hypocritical, right? You know, for me to tell someone I love you, but then my other actions, the rest of my life and in my heart, I don't actually really believe that. That is very hurtful, if you know that. That is very hypocritical. So why would we do that to God when we're worshiping Him as well? When we're singing these worship songs, we're honoring God with our lips and with our mouths, but then are our hearts far away from Him? So this is why when we say that, how should we truly worship God in our hearts? You know, we need to have our internal worship within our hearts be reflected in our external worship, in our actions. So what's the solution? What can we do? Here's the thing. Whenever you come to church to sing worship songs, okay, we're just focusing on the worship songs at least. Okay? Prepare your hearts. Think about, as I sing these songs, in my heart, can I actually say it? Do I actually believe it in my heart? And like maybe you can come to yourself to bring yourself to be conscious to that point of, okay, let what I'm saying and singing be true in my heart. So that's one step. So maybe if you find that, no, I struggle with this. I find it hard to say, to tell God to like to lay me down, for me to surrender. If that's the case, then maybe one thing that you can do is just not sing. It's okay to be silent, to be quiet, and just to reflect on the words. Or maybe another option, like if you find yourself being troubled with like singing these words, you can still sing the words, but sing the words as a prayer to God. You may say, yes, the words in the song is telling me that I want to lay my life down before you and surrender before you, but God, I know that I am struggling with that right now, but I want to get to that point where I can grow to be to the point where I can say that I want to surrender before you. See, I think that would be worship to God, and that would be true in your heart if you say, I'm not there yet, but I would like to be there. God, I pray that you would help me. So this is what we can practically do in our worship services, at least when we're singing songs, that would help us to have our external actions of worship be reflectant upon what is truly internally inside our hearts. Because what we say, worship is an interaction between our spirit and also God as well. So this is some things that we can be able to think about as we are worshiping Him. So I mean, earlier today, right before worship during with the worship team, during rehearsal, we talked about this. You know, I helped them to understand and think about this concept, and I hoped that this is reflected as they are worshiping and leading up here as well. But you see, the external acts of worship isn't just in our singing, but also in the other things that they're doing. They are playing instruments, you know, playing drums, playing guitar, playing piano. Same thing. as you play these instruments, may your expression of your worship reflect that internal worship that is in your heart. And I think God will see that as well. And this applies to other acts of worship. Remember, I said at the beginning, I said that everything that we do in this life, whether we eat, we drink, everything we do is seen as worship. So this applies to things that we do outside of church as well too. Can you say that as you are studying in school, that you are studying to worship God and you want to glorify Him? It's no longer about you getting the best grades, no longer about you wanting to please your parents, but you can say, I study the best that I can, and I do so because I want to honor God. I want to get a good job in the future so that He can be able to use me in whatever He has prepared for me in the future. That is a different perspective on our studies that can be seen as worship. Same thing in your sports. Can you say, oh, I want to beat the other team. I want to do well and do hard in my practice. But you're not doing it just for something good on your college resume, something good, maybe you just want to get a scholarship. But you want to do it because you want to honor and glorify God. So anything that we do is seen as an act of worship. Then think about, how is that internal act of worship, is it reflecting upon my external actions? This goes upon like other ministries here in church too. Maybe some of us, like, you know, during the summer, we had led VBS. You know, we have helped the children. So as you're up there in the front, as you're singing these songs and telling these children to believe in Him, that God is awesome, do you actually believe that in your heart? As you lead the games for the children, do you actually care whether those children one day believe in God? And this is my hope and prayer, is that we will be consistent in that way. This is why it's so important for us not to be a hypocrite in that sense, and let our external actions be truly reflecting upon what is internally inside of our hearts. So this is why I want to encourage you all to think about this. This is what it means to truly worship God. So let's review everything that we've learned from our passages today. Again, we answered the question, how should we worship God with a true heart? Number one, worship in a way that is a truthful interaction between our spirit and God. And then number two, as we said, our internal worship within our hearts should be reflected by our external worship in our actions. So as we think about worshiping God, not only here in church, not only when we sing songs, but in anything that we do in this life, think about, are we worshiping God? Are we interacting in a truthful way with God? Is my internal actions in my heart reflecting upon what I'm actually doing externally as well? You know, sometimes, like, if you go to a big retreat, okay, a big conference where maybe there's, like, Winter Dean Conference, you have all these other churches that are gathered together, you know, it's like the worship is a little bit different than maybe our church. And usually our church, people, we're just standing still, we're singing and worshiping. Yeah, and we can be worshiping God, but then you notice that there's some people who would, you know, actually raise their hands, they're jumping and dancing before God. Like, and I think that can be an expression of what's truly on their hearts. But I also give a same warning too. Because there are some people who say, oh, I am outwardly raising my hands and say, oh, look at me, look how holy I am. I'm closing my eyes, I'm singing to God. But it could be the same thing. They're just focusing on themselves and what other people think of them. So the warning is that, yeah, we can lift up our hands and do all these things, but it should reflect what is internally inside our hearts. But I think maybe the application maybe for all of us, for most of us in our church, is that maybe we should be more open to raise our hands. Maybe the reason why we don't raise our hands or express ourselves or even dance is because we're so concerned about what other people are thinking about us. And that's the case, that's no different than those people who like to raise their hands and dance around, because they're also maybe concerned about what other people think about them. So maybe, like, to surrender ourselves and to really have a true reflection of what's in our heart, maybe as we worship God, let's think about, you know, can we express it externally in the way that we sing, in the way that we dance, in the way that we lift up our hands. Again, no matter what it is, what's more important is what is in our hearts, that we are worshiping in spirit and in truth, and that is reflected in our external acts of worship. So after I pray and close, actually, I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. We're going to be singing like one more worship song, and I want us to practice what we learned. Okay? Reflect upon the lyrics, reflect upon like what we've just taught, and let's worship God together, singing the song, Here I Am to Worship. Let me close in prayer for us, and then we'll sing this last worship song. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Thank you again for giving us this message tonight and reminding us about, you know, what does it mean to truly worship you? Father, forgive us when we may seem that we are far away from you. Forgive us like when we have been hypocrites, when we are serving, we're doing something in church, but you know, in our hearts, we don't really care. We don't really believe it. Lord, I pray that you will help us to apply this in our worship songs, in the way that we serve, whether in VBS or later on as we participate in Operation Christmas Child and pack these gift shoe boxes. We just ask that you would help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we worship you right now, and we want to praise you. We lift up these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.